Hello and welcome back to Soft Cats Explain It podcast series. This is season 7 and we're already into episode 3. Time flies when we're having fun, doesn't it? My name is Helen Gidney, Softcat's Head of Architecture, and we're here to explain it. Every episode, our team of experts are here to talk in simple, jargon-free language, and today is no exception. The key is in the title, and on that note, I'll introduce today's topic, the ethics of AI. You will all know that AI has been making headlines for a while now, and we'll be seeing more and more businesses adopting it this year to improve their performance and efficiency. But how do we ensure that AI is used in a responsible way? How do we ensure that it is ethical? How do we avoid the pitfalls and risks that come with such a powerful technology? And how do we prevent AI from becoming a threat to humanity, like Skynet in the Terminator movies? These are some of the questions that we'll try and answer today in this episode, with the help of our experts. Our guests, Aaron Spedding, Softcat's AI Specialist Lead, and Rebecca Gorman, CEO of our good friends Aligned AI. So, Rebecca, as we've seen with most cutting-edge technologies, cloud, blockchain, even NFTs, things like that, we always see a really big hype. It becomes really popular and really current in media and the news. And then typically the technology isn't quite as ready as we expect it to be, and we see a drop off, people go back to their old ways, or it gets forgotten. Where do you think we are right now with AI?
There's currently a lot of experimentation in enterprise on using generative AI models for various applications. What we're seeing so far is that the majority of these applications don't make it out of the R&D pipeline and aren't able to be deployed in production. Now, whether that changes over time requires an increase in the precision and reliability of the models that are being used for these applications.
And when you say precision and reliability, what do you mean by that? What are we looking for in those AIs to make them effective?
Just this week, there was a news item about an airline who deployed a chatbot on their website. A customer asked the chatbot how to get bereavement discount on their flight. The chatbot told them that they could apply for the refund after their flight. This actually was inaccurate. It wasn't the company policy. Therefore, when this passenger did apply for the bereavement discount after his flight, it was denied. It was taken to court, and a judge ruled that the airline was treating the chatbot as if it was a separate legal entity, which didn't make sense. And the airline was forced to provide the passenger with their bereavement discount in the end. When you introduce an old-fashioned machine learning model to the marketplace, to production, you require it to have a certain level of reliability. You require it to have a low enough level of risk. You monitor it to make sure it maintains that low enough level of risk. When you build another type of product, whether it's a hardware product or a household item, there's a certain level of reliability that you aim for when you're building that product before you introduce it to the marketplace. Foundation models that are on the market today have a low level of reliability for the applications they're being deployed in. Now, maybe sometimes they have a 90% reliability or a 95% reliability, but that's often not high enough for deployment in the marketplace. So we're seeing this problem really obstruct a lot of enterprises from building the applications externally and often even internally that they'd like to build.
So that's really interesting because we're talking about risk like any other product that a company sells, but most people treat AI almost like it's human. So they expect a higher level of reliability and a lower level of risk. So Aaron, why do you think that is? Why do you think we treat these products at a higher level of accountability, maybe.
Yeah, and I think actually just to make a point on your initial point about how we've witnessed this pattern before where initial buzz gives way to skepticism, this interestingly isn't the first time that AI has kind of ridden that roller coaster of hype and disillusionment. It actually happened during the 80s and the 90s with what was referred to as the AI winter. So back then, the emergence of things like expert systems sparked a bit of a frenzy of interest and investment. Yet as the dust settled, funding and enthusiasm waned as the technology simply couldn't meet the sky-high expectations. So these early breakthroughs, for example, faced issues, scalability issues, because of things like the lack of computing power and data scarcity. And I think for me, the reason AI stands out and why it's a little bit different to existing technologies or technologies that we've seen in the past is for a few key reasons. So firstly is its ever-advancing ability to learn on its own. So we've seen this with the likes of DeepMind's AlphaGo and IBM's Watson in beating human champions by learning by itself. AI's ability then to offer super personalized experiences like Spotify playlists that hit just the right note for millions of us, which is incredibly nuanced, goes way beyond the reach of traditional tech. And finally, it's a game changer for creativity. So, you know, with tools like DALL-E opening up new avenues for artists by merging AI's computational power with human creativity to produce art that transcends conventional boundaries. So we've already sort of started building this relationship with it where it's providing and serving us more than traditional tech has. But, I guess, and it is a big but, while it's fascinating to see AI pushing boundaries, naturally there's a flip side. So the same features that are making AI intriguing, like its ability to learn, personalize and create, are also stirring up some real concerns. So we're talking about biases that can sneak into AI decisions, reflecting and sometimes amplifying societal inequalities. Then there's the issue of privacy, with AI knowing us a little too well, and then the creation of echo chambers that can limit our views of the world. And one that I think probably warrants its own episode, deepfakes, for example. So their ability to warp reality is a real threat to trust. So as we go on this journey with AI, I think it's crucial that we tread carefully, balancing the innovation, the integration with ourselves, with ethical implications to ensure that this technology actually serves us for the better.
You talked about bias, about AI learning from itself and developing to give it that almost human quality where we treat it at a different level than typical products. But getting into issues of privacy, issues of trust. Do you think that's what we mean by the ethics of AI, Aaron?
Yes, I guess in our world, ethics serves as like a compass that guides us through the murky waters of right and wrong and shapes how we interact and care for one another. It's like a set of rules and guidelines that help people decide how to behave in a good and fair way, whether that's in everyday life, at work, or in society as a whole. So at its core, ethics is about making choices that are good not just for us, but for everyone around us too. So when we zoom into the realm of AI, the ethics of AI refers to the principles and guidelines that govern the development, deployment, and the use of AI technologies in a way that upholds humans' rights, fairness, accountability, and respect for individual autonomy. So as we push the limits of what AI can do, we've got to make sure that we're steering it in a direction that really shows off the best of what makes us human, which means thinking deeply about ethics to make sure that AI tech not only makes our lives better, but respects our values and helps us build a fair and just society. So looking through an ethical lens presents a broad range of considerations, some that I've already mentioned. So from ensuring that AI systems don't perpetuate biases or infringe on privacy, to managing the societal impacts of AI, such as job displacement and security concerns. So our cyber GRC chief technologist, Abby, she spoke a few episodes ago about our triad of trust. So where a responsible AI requires transparency, accountability and explicability. So responsible AI really does call for an inclusive dialogue between developers, policymakers and the broader public to navigate all these ethical dilemmas that AI pose.
Rebecca, talking about ethics, policy, triad of trust, how do you do that? How do you build that into an AI? How do you make an AI ethical?
I've noticed in the past several months, a lot of the language around AI is assumed to be about generative AI. I've even had recently in the past week, somebody say, are you talking about AI or machine learning? which goes back to Aaron's previous point about AI winters. We've had previous generations of things that were called AI that are no longer called AI. So back in the early days, even a computer was thought to be steps away from superintelligence. And then the next generation of AI was around symbolic logic, which we just call programming now. It's not AI anymore. Then machine learning was called AI, starting back around maybe 2016. And right now we're experiencing in the industry, or at least in the general public, this shift of this conception that maybe machine learning isn't AI, it's just foundation models that are AI. And I think maybe a lot of the audience might think of it that way now. They might think of ChatGPT as AI, and maybe they won't think as much about machine learning models that we've been calling AI and talking about as AI. They might not think about those as AI anymore. So that's an interesting shift that I'm seeing right now.
The evolution of human thought about what AI is.
Mm. So basically, some people will say, once we get used to it, we don't call it AI anymore. We only call something AI when it's new and it's pushing the boundaries of what technology can do. And then after we get used to that capability, whether it's computing or symbolic logic or machine learning or generative AI, it's no longer AI, right? It's like someday we're going to say, oh, ChatGPT, that's not AI. That's just, you know, a text generator. So that's going to be the next step.
It's not scary anymore, right? It's not unknown or not understood by the general populace.
Exactly. It won't even be amazing anymore.
It will just be the norm. Be the norm. It's like having a phone.
Oh, it won't be normal. It'll be normal, and then it'll be boring, and then it will be, oh yeah, we don't use that anymore. It created a bunch of garbage. We couldn't use it. We wasted all this money on it, and so that's coming next.
Yeah. On the topic, I guess, of generative AI, and with the topic or the subject of the podcast being on the ethics of AI. I obviously mentioned a few points, but it'd be good to just elaborate a little bit further on what we think some of the considerations are from an ethical perspective when it comes to the challenges with generative AI. So firstly, and I know that this is a topic because we have spoken before that Rebecca's also quite excited and interested in as well, is bias and fairness. And it is a biggie because if you think about it, AI systems or generative AI learns from data. And this data is like a mirror reflecting society with all of its imperfections. So despite all the beauty in the world and a conscious effort to highlight and eliminate it, we have yet to fully eradicate human bias. And considering that AI tools are built by humans, it becomes imperative for us to ensure that these technologies only reflect our highest standards of fairness and impartiality. So something we've already started witnessing with generative AI models is how they can start to slip over time, something that we call model degradation or model drift. And this happens when systems face the real world, full of changing trends and shifting human behaviours. So it's not just about the biases that these models might learn, it's how their performance can start to fall off track from what we originally planned. And this drift is a stark reminder that our job isn't done once a system is deployed. We need to keep a close eye on them. We need to be ready to step in and tweak things to keep them fair and accurate and keep them aligned with our sort of evolving societal values. There's something called retrieval augmented generation, or RAG as it's often shorted to, which can help tackle this model drift piece by dynamically incorporating up-to-date information, ensuring that AI models sort of very relevant and accurate over time. And without a close watch, AI might just not mimic some of these biases, but actually amplify them. So we've seen examples in hiring algorithms that have favored one demographic over another. Generative AI is learning from us, and sometimes we're not the best teachers of our own bias. So as we continue to build these systems, we've got to kind of double down on fairness, making sure that they're as unbiased as we can make them. Secondly, the unprecedented power of generative AI to process personal data presents a bit of a double-edged sword, because it offers remarkable benefits whilst posing significant risks to privacy and security. Ethical AI use would demand a balance between harnessing data for the greater good and protecting individual rights through things such as strict data governance and consent. The smarter AI gets, the more attractive it becomes for, you know, malicious attacks. So we're talking about data poisoning, for example, or adversarial attacks. So it's not just about protecting the data, but it's ensuring that these systems can't be tricked or tampered with. And finally, I think, and this one is a point that has been on the tip of a lot of people's tongues, and there's certainly been a lot of fear surrounding this, but the job market's transformation due to, I guess, generative AI driven or IA intelligent automation, where the birth of new roles coincides with the disappearance of others, and addressing the debate over human control in the face of increasing AI autonomy. So particularly in areas such as autonomous vehicles, for example, and weapon systems. So stepping a little bit outside the Gen AI realm here. This challenge kind of calls for thoughtful strategies, including retraining programs and a social safety net to support the workforce transitions that are likely to happen, alongside establishing sort of clear guidelines to ensure human oversight remains paramount in decision-making processes with any sort of profound moral or safety implications. So like I was saying, if ethics is used as a compass in our world, in the AI universe, it should be the North Star, guiding our quest to kind of mesh this basically game-changing technology with our deepest human values. So by embedding these ethical pillars at the heart of AI deployment and development, we're not just building and using what we now consider advanced technology, but that won't be considered advanced technology for a couple of years down the line, but we're making sure that it's technology that's actually aligned with the best in humanity.
So Aaron, you're saying that we can't just leave AI to itself. It needs human intervention, and it takes that theory of AI is going to take our jobs and says, well, AI is going to change your jobs and how we support it and drive it towards that North Star of ethics. So Rebecca, can AI learn to be truly ethical? Can we develop a truly ethical AI?
Artificial intelligence, as it's developed today, as Aaron has said so well, learns what's represented in the data set that we provide to it. Whether what's represented in the data set is what we intend to communicate or something else. And the reality of the situation is that there's always something else in the data set that we haven't thought of, that we don't realize we're communicating to the artificial intelligence. And that's why every artificial intelligence misbehaves and degrades over time. We need to be able to communicate with artificial intelligence what our real intentions are. We need to be able to communicate with artificial intelligence what we truly want it to learn. And we need it to be able to continue to learn over time what our intent for it is in new situations, to be able to continue to communicate with us and ask questions about our real intent. Not faux questions like we're getting from generative AI, but actual interpretable questions that really go to the heart of the AI model and how it understands the data that we've provided to it. That's the problem that we've been tackling at Aligned AI, helping artificial intelligence to be aligned with human values and human intent by helping it to differentiate between the data set and the intent behind that data set, the real thing, that the concept or the value that we're wanting it to learn from us.
And that comes in around not just reading, like you said, the letter of what the data says, but the intent of what it is, which almost starts to border into understanding potentially. How does that work? How do we get to a point of AI being understanding of what we mean?
For example, if you're trying to hire a job candidate, in an example that Aaron gave, and you're using an artificial intelligence in this process, you intend for it to hire the person that will contribute the most value in that role. But often, the way that we're doing AI in industry today, what's often communicated is we want a white male for this role, or Or interestingly, there's been various scenarios discovered where what was communicated was, we want someone who uses a Chrome browser, or we want someone who likes anime. And the AI has used that to recommend job candidates. What we need to create, and this is what Aligned AI is tackling, is artificial intelligence that can say, look, the data set you gave me indicates that you want to hire a white man who uses a Chrome browser and loves anime. Is that what you intended? Or did you intend maybe someone who would do a great job at this role and add a lot of value to your enterprise? And actually help the human understand the biases that they've communicated to the artificial intelligence, and give the human the opportunity to say, actually, please disregard my biases. That's not actually what I want you to do. Please hire the person who'll add value to the enterprise. That's actually what I really want and what I really intend.
That is what we find so fascinating about, well, the conversations I've had so far already with Rebecca and Aligned AI. I think, to your initial point, predicting the future when it comes to where AI is going to take us is kind of like trying to guess tomorrow's weather to the minute on your own. Despite all the signs, there's always like a bit of room for surprise. But I think the path to more ethical AI transcends just creating sort of better algorithms. It depends on the diversity of the data it's trained on, but also the integrity of the teams that are developing it. So training it with unbiased data and putting it through, you know, rigorous ethical reviews are important steps to influencing its decision-making process. So like what the guys at Aligned AI are doing. So in my view, I think for now, actually, the responsibility for ethical AI ultimately falls on us, the humans that are programming it and building it and using it. So we're the ones that are charged with infusing it with our highest values and steering it in a more, you know, in a more intricate manner through the moral dilemmas of our era. And given this, and I guess leading it back into, can it learn to be ethical? As we edge closer to the monumental, albeit theoretical, milestone of creating artificial general intelligence, AGI, where AI can comprehend, learn, and apply knowledge across a broad spectrum of tasks, almost and as competently as a human, it's not too far-fetched to envision a future where AI not only teaches other AI systems, but it also educates us on ethical principles and values, paving the way for a more fair and inclusive society. So I think for now, certainly the responsibility is on us to help AI become more ethical and its use become more ethical, which is why what the team over at Aligned AI are doing is fascinating. I think this is an area that certainly serves as a hurdle for the adoption, not only some of the other things that Rebecca mentioned earlier on, but I think that we are now seeing that there are flaws and there are errors and issues with some of the data that is being used through these tools. And the more that we can do to eradicate that, or I guess review that in a better manner, the better the adoption of AI will be in general.
So if we're saying that at the moment it is our responsibility to make AI ethical, but potentially in the not too distant future, there is a possibility that AI itself is ethical and can teach us and other AI models. I imagine the thought from our listener would be, do we get to a point like Skynet? Does AI take over?
Like I said, it's so hard to predict. Like if we take a prime example is the being only yesterday, the 15th of February 2024, OpenAI revealed Sora, which at the moment is, well, what we understand it as is a tool that has the ability to simulate a minute's worth of realistic footage based on a prompt you provide it with. And some of the initial footage that has apparently been created by Sora is nothing short of remarkable. So moreover, by the time that people hear this podcast, there's a chance that there's been further developments to that or similar groundbreaking technologies that have been announced. So, you know, it's impossible to tell. I mean, naturally, we do see the trend within technology of it following the sigmoid curve and sort of transitioning up to this sort of exponential point and then either, you know, dipping off or continuing to excel. AGI or general intelligence has been a major goal within some of the, you know, the companies like OpenAI. There was the whole, I guess, I'll call it debacle around QStar a couple of months ago. So the exceptional potential married with the immense risk of AI really underscores the importance of responsible, safe, ethical and regulated use of AI. So it's impossible to tell. At least in my mind, I think it's impossible to tell where we will be with this. But going back to what I was saying about how we use these things, there was a quote that comes to mind that is often tied to a man called John Knoll, who is one of the co-creators of Adobe Photoshop. But I don't think it's ever actually been verified he was the one who said it. But if it did, it's incredibly profound, which is that any tool can be used for good or bad. It's really just the ethics of the artist using it.
I would want to add, however, that AI is not the standard kind of tool to date. It's a tool that often does something different than we try to use it to do. And then that way it's different from a hammer or a washing machine or a bomb. A bomb can fail to blow up, but it doesn't tend to hit a country on the other side of the world from where you intended to direct it. A wrench doesn't go and slam the neighbor in the head when you're asleep. And we're using these artificial intelligence tools as if they have more controllability than they do. And when I say that we're using them as if they have more controllability than they do, I'm not claiming that these AI systems are intelligent and self-aware. They're not. They're not slamming the neighbor in the head while you're asleep because they're smart and had an intention to go and do that and went and did it. It's because they're dumb and they thought that's what you wanted them to do. So in order to make actually super intelligent or even intelligent systems, systems that you can guide or could have a intelligent plan of its own to achieve your objectives, we need to create systems that can correctly learn what they're intended to learn from the data set. So there is a lot of randomness and biases in the models, and without approaching those, without removing those, we have imprecise, unreliable, and uncontrollable AI systems that will continue to pose problems for enterprise. Another interesting item in the news recently was Sam Altman wanting to invest $7 trillion in building up a hardware industry for building AI chips. And that is a very interesting admission, because it's an admission that OpenAI anticipates needing to make their models dramatic orders of magnitudes larger in order to achieve their goals of superintelligence. In other words, that's an admission that their current approach to making artificial intelligence, to making AGI, isn't working, which I find astounding that they're making publicly. But it's accurate. These models are not achieving the precision and results that enterprise need to build intelligent products and intelligent systems.
So AI is a toddler misunderstanding what its parents are telling it to do.
I don't think it's as smart as a toddler. I think it's...
Not even there yet.
Not even there yet.
Well, thank you so much for joining today. You've been amazing guests. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, Aaron. Some fantastic pieces of insight there. And I think, as we've learned, a long way to go until we get to Skynet and a proper superintelligence. So we're safe for now.
Hopefully that's reassuring.
Yes. If you want to listen to more episodes from this season, we'll be releasing them on the last Tuesday of every month. Alternatively, you can stream or download all episodes from every season on your preferred platform. We'll be back next month with another topic to talk tech in simple, jargon-free language. Thank you for listening to Explain It.